Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day. Welcome back to another episode of RC Stuff, powered by Hobbying. As always, Charlie Sawanka here with my co-host, Mr. Mike Chen, and special guest, Mr. Matt Gonzalez. Hi, Matt. Hi, Mike. How are you guys?
Not too bad.
Well,
perfect. I was hoping you guys would talk at the same time. That's excellent. You did it well.
Yes. Nailed it. High five.
This week, if you are regulars to the show, you are probably regulars to all things Hobbywing, and you know that there has been a very exciting new product release. There's been several new products over the last couple weeks, ranging from speed control stuff to micro motors, but perhaps the most anticipated new product release that Matt and I have been involved with is the G4R V10 motor from the XE Run. I always say it XE Run. XE Run series of spec racing stuff. We got a new 13.5 and a new 17.5 that is completely changed from the ground up when you compare it to the previous version. So we're going to talk about, I don't know, some of the fun stuff that Matt and I got to do in the development of this. Mike's got some questions to ask us. And of course, the real reason that all of you have tuned in to RC Stuff, the free RC Stuff. We're going to get to the free RC Stuff. This week's winner will be announced at some stage in the show. You got to listen. Don't fast forward. Don't try to skip around. We're going to sneak it in there somewhere. But I guess let's start out with a handful of the questions. You guys, if you're a listener, hopefully, if you didn't hear about this motor, you're frantically clicking away to find out the information. But it just got announced Monday night, I think. My phone was exploding all evening on Monday, and I know Matt's was the same, with folks wanting to know more about this new motor, sizes, specs, all that fun stuff. So we'll get into that and some of the stuff that Matt and I learned from the unboxings that we've gotten our hands on so far, too. So without further ado, Mr. Chen, hit us with your questions, sir.
Yeah, this motor has generated a ton of buzz. And I would definitely say this is these are probably the most common questions that we've been getting. So when can people buy these motors is the very, very first question.
So they're supposed to be listed on the website by the 18th, from what I was told, and from what the website says as well. So you can check it out, Hobbywing like North America, or
North America. Correct, you bonehead.
Well, HobbywingDirect.com.
HobbywingDirect.com. And there are a certain amount of shops that have gotten them here soon, so check out like your local hobby shop. See if you guys were lucky enough to get some G4Rs.
Pre-order starts now. You can get them on pre-order. Several of the dealers in the dealer network have been informed that these are available for pre-order, and it is shaping up to be extremely likely that everything, mass quantities, I guess you will start shipping by the 18th. But there are the select, I guess you'd say, if your racetrack is very active in the spec racing world, and perhaps Matt and I have visited them and raced with them, they may already have these motors in stock by the time you're listening to this. So reach out to your local racetracks first and foremost. They're going to have hands on these motors long before anybody else does. So that's a good sign. So maybe already available now in your area. If you're on the social media, you guys have found some shops have these already. So it's a good thing.
Okay.
Well, that's that. Next question, sir.
All right. The next question is going to be, how did the testing go?
Well, it was...
What'd you guys do and stuff like that?
Honestly, yeah. It was the first project, I think, that I was thrown to the wolves. Charlie came down a week in November, and we were testing
it was the last week of October.
Oh, yeah. It was like the last week in October. And it was, we were testing the G4, seeing if we could make it better. And that's where we kind of figured out the sensor board mod, or the Charlie board, as we were calling it, where we were unsoldering the back of the sensor board and moving it closer with an X-Acto blade and getting it, you know, more into all the fun, like magnet stuff. And that's where that kind of started. And then a day later, I think Charlie was like, oh, a bunch of these samples came in, and we get to try them. So this is a win-win. So I think it was a week's worth of like... graphs.
Look, go ahead. I'm
spreadsheets and a lot of just kind of data like jotted down on all kinds of like machines, all kinds of like checkers, just seeing what we were kind of like dealing with from what we got from the original like G4 to this like new like G4R.
Okay.
I feel like there was more to it than that, the way I remember. Now, granted, I forget more things than I remember. What is it? March now. So this is 4 months ago that this project had started. Now, I went down to SDRC to hang out with Matt for what? It was 3 days of On Track.
Yeah.
No, four days?
4 days of On Track. Yeah.
4 days of On Track. We had the place to ourselves. So Matt was able to run pretty much nonstop. We could tend to the track as we saw fit. Like if we wanted more or less water, we could do that. And the track was in, you know, for all intents and purposes, good condition for testing. And we ran nonstop G4R stuff just to make sure that it didn't change consistency and compare it to, I guess, the golden standard that was out there, the other spec motors that were also popular, and to make sure that take the motor out, run the other motor, put the G4R back in, run it, and do comparisons to see if the track was the same, if the motor was the same, all these things. And then compare all of that, keep notes of what was going on to turn that into engineering. Like really what I called making science. Like there was a lot of us manually data logging things as far as what the motors were doing and compared to the standard that was there. Now, this has also happened already on the other side of the globe. The international development team had done a bunch of this already, so they had sent us a handful of samples. There was one or two of each of the 17.5 and the 13.5s, and there was a couple different variations of it. And then as we get through this testing, another variation came along. So Matt and I got to sit and compare all of these to each other and to the standards of spec motor racing that was out there and log what was going on as far as temperatures, lap time fade. All of that really, I guess, I was bored with all of this by the end of it because you see the trend pretty early on that this is better, this is worse, whatever the case may be. And once we got through all of that, we sat down and tried to figure out we're going to have to work with the G4 for many more months before this new motor gets released. We should make sure that we could get the most out of the G4. So we spent more of the time running G4 motors actually than we did G4Rs because we saw how good the G4Rs were and we wanted to focus on making our current customer base have something to work with. And we've talked about this before, the sensor board situation. And in that, we tried this modified sensor board that we did that was so good in the G4 on the G4R and found some similar improvements there. We told engineering about it, and they actually brought that change into the G4R. They moved the sensor board for us in the design of the motor instead of us having to do it manually. So it's a pretty cool stuff happened. That was one of the, I guess, maybe not the first time, but the first time that we were able to get some pushback, and then we told them, hey, we really like this. We know it doesn't show up on your test, but you know, make this happen. And we're like, all right, we'll meet you in the middle. And they gave us something. And their version was even better than what our version was, is the science that we found out after the fact when Matt got the production ones to run, so to speak. So that was all good stuff.
Yeah, it was
Go ahead.
A good learning experience, sorry. Yeah, we tested, I think, every manufacturer's of motor we tested throughout all the different track like conditions at like us like DRC. The track was pretty much perfect. Anytime that we like, I can say that was probably the best the track had been in a very long time as far as grip and like layout was. It had a triple coming out of like a slow corner, so if you could clear the triple for, I think we did a couple like 12 minute runs with the G4R at least, and it did it no problem. So that was usually, that was the indicator of like, okay, we do have seven special here. And it's not just like, oh my God, this thing's so much better. It was a significant difference compared to the G4 to the G4R.
Right. Well, and then my big thing was we knew that the G4R or the G4 was what it was in comparison to everything else. So our main focus was to compare this to other motors and then see how close we could get the G4 to that on the back end of it. So it was, like I said, it was a very good experience overall. I think On top of that, after, you know, we went to some races and Matt worked his magic on stuff for people, it's all good times. We had some very successful tests. So
yes.
Mm-hmm. I think all that's right. That covers most of how testing went.
I think that's how most of it went. I'm like, it led to one of the twins like winning like hobby action like that week with the G4, and then like Dustin Fox like winning
stuff, right.
The
Cleveland.
To race in Cleveland with a production like G4. So it's definitely like made its waves throughout the, you know, the country, I would say.
All right.
If I can paint the picture that's in my head right now, I see Charlie and Matt standing on the driving stand in white lab coats with a clipboard and a radio in their hand at the same time.
If only. I wouldn't even watch him run. Like, watching RC cars makes me sleepy. So, like, I tried to, like, go do something while he was running the car, and we'd get back. How was it? Okay. And then we'd write it down.
Yeah.
I like that. We'll have to get some Hobby Wing lab coats. We'll do a commercial.
Pretty much.
Oh my god. Yes. Love it. All right. So the next most popular question I would definitely say we've been getting is there going to be a graded or a premium motor offering?
Well, as Charlie and I discovered and seen, out of all the motors I've gone through, they're all pretty much the same.
Well, let's back this up a second. Matt and I have spent a lot of time working on G4s, and we went through tons of those and saw a lot of consistency there, and we expect that consistency. Sorry, I cut you off a little early. I'm sorry.
No, all good.
But our confidence in the G4R stems from how many G4s we've gone through in these last several months of traveling to races, helping people with their motors, and the amount of motors that Matt has gone through in going to races and supporting things. So here, carry on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I unboxed a G4R, a fully like production one, yesterday at the track, and I built it for like a customer, and they actually come with this little sheet which shows you the IR of your stator at 25, degrees like Celsius, which is 77 Fahrenheit, all that fun stuff, which is what Roar techs like stators at. So
right,
comes with a little bit of an info sheet. It doesn't tell you like RPM or like anything like that. But the positives of this is that all of them, like stator wise, are going to be pretty like consistent. Like the Hobby Wing factory is super strict when it comes to tolerances, and there's not going to be like anything that comes out of there that's super like wonky.
The picture that I took from all of this is that we already grade them. Like we don't just make a batch of motors and sell all of them. There's a minimum that they have to meet before they get put into production. And much like the graded or premium or race team certified, whatever you want to call it, that the other manufacturers sell, I think we do that already, is my take on all of this. Like the stators, the rotors, everything we've seen has been very consistent over dozens upon dozens of motors. And I mean, some of you are like, oh, I'm sure they send you guys special. They don't. They don't send us special motors. Trust me. The warehouse is way too busy to try to deal with any of that stuff. So we get same stuff that you guys get right off the shelf. And I think that the certification thing, it'd be unlikely. I'll never say never, because people are willing to pay more money for a small advantage. And if you've brought this up with me at a race, I've had this conversation with you directly. I'm like, everybody else is probably needed to do this certification problem. It was worth or situation, and it was worth charging more money for their upper echelon of batch, if you will. If you go through 1,000 motors and you take the best ones, there's going to be some variance there. And I think that I would feel bad charging people for the difference of the best motor that Matt and I have seen over the last 6 months. Like, it's really not that much better than the worst one that we saw, if that makes any sense. So that's my take on it. But, you know, like I said, never say never, but chances are probably not going to have any of that stuff from us in this spec motor situation.
Yeah, it's hard to, like, kind of explain to people that you don't need certified stuff. I would say for, like, the last year, the twins ran, like, independent when it came to motor stuff. And we still won races on stuff that we bought off the shelf, not asking for anything, like, handpicked. Right. So, which came into Hobby Wing, which is, like, Hobbywing doesn't do certified premium, you know, hand-picked motors. When to a certain degree, they're all checked out and made sure that they're not over a certain like tolerance or under a certain tolerance.
Right.
All right.
Well, awesome.
Next question. Are they good for on-road or off-road or both?
My favorite question when people ask me that. I've always said that a good motor is a good motor. It doesn't matter what you put it in. It makes the car faster. But I do appreciate the perception that a lot of folks have come across that certain rotors are better for on-road, certain stators are better for off-road, that sort of thing. Sure, the tuning window is probably a little easier to hit, but it's more of a tuning situation than it is one particularly being better than the other. It might suit the gearing that you have on the car right now. It might suit the track layout that you have, stuff like that. But I'm not sure that it's necessarily better directly for those applications. So to answer the question very directly, yes, it's good across the board. We ran it on dirt. We ran it on carpet. We've run it on pavement. We've run it on big tracks. We've run it on small tracks. We've run it on high grip. We've run it on low grip, and it seems to be I don't want to just say it's better than the G4 because, you know, spec racers are like, well, you know, G4 was what it was. Well, how is it compared? It was as good as everything else that we put in the cars. So in that regard, I think that it's going to be a very good kind of across the board sort of motor that's good everywhere, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, like from what I've seen as well, like we were when it ran it at like the World's track the track where they're having the Worlds at like this year, and it seemed to be fine in touring car. We ran it on carpet in Cleveland, seemed to be fine compared to everything else that like we had. Like I ran the 13.5 and made the Mod 2 old main, so it they both look pretty good for every application.
Awesome. All right. And I think the last most asked question that we got was, what is the tuning rotor all about?
Mm.
Well,
we've had a matrix of tuning rotors over the years, and I was excited a little bit when they just showed us one, and I'll say this so far, but Matt, take it away. What's up with the rotor?
So there is the HUSB rotor and the JUSB like rotor. And the HUSB is the one that is stock in the motor. It is a little lower strength. And what I mean lower, I mean gradually lower. It is just around 1760 to 1780 strength, which is right where like you want to like see it at. And then there is the JUSB, which I think the strongest one I saw was 1860, which when it comes to spec racing is really strong. This application seems to be really good for stock two-wheel drive on dirt where, you know, you can, run a little bit like different gearing than what most people are doing. With the JUSB rotor, I found that like running a smaller spur and a bigger pinion seems to be the way to go. As far as with how strong it is, you just need the top end to come back into it because it makes so much bottom end with how strong it is.
Okay.
So the clunk of the motor is stronger, the Gauss is stronger, and in turn, temperature will change along with the RPM with these tuning rotors. And the one that I would, well, why don't you guys just sell them with that tuning rotor in there? Well, because the other rotor is better for some applications. Like there's situations where you're working around the motor wanting to be either in a lower RPM situation or a higher RPM situation. And generally speaking, the option rotor is going to be suited for lower RPM applications due to the strength. Stronger magnet tends to prefer less RPM over more RPM, if that makes any sense. That's like the science that I've learned about that sort of thing. So, but that'd be the only thing I would have to add on to the tuning rotor topics.
Yeah, there was a lot of people like that asked, like, hey, like, by like the end of it all, this makes it a so and so priced like motor, and I'm at the end of the day, it's just a tuning option, and it's not needed. If you would like to try it, all are welcome to. I feel like it's something that I've preferred when testing, but it might not suit like everybody else.
Yeah, so sometimes it's a feel thing, and I think for a lot of drivers, feel is important. So getting that right feel, not necessarily a power situation, but spec racing, you know, it's all about the power for the most part. A lot of these guys will drive around a feel issue because the power is better, but in the same regard, sometimes you just can't because of the track, the layout, the conditions, whatever the case may be. So this is just something to give you some tinkering and options to play with. Like, you can never have too many options, right, until you do.
Exactly.
At least so far, only one. That's not to say there's not more rotors coming down the pipeline later on, but for now, at least we just got the one to deal with. So
yeah,
it'll make setup sheets, it'll make tuning kind of a lot more straightforward. And Matt and I are going to be focusing on tunes for both of the rotors, of course, so that, you know, you don't have to have the rotor to have the hot setup, so to speak. That goes against a lot of the things that I try to stay away from in our race program. So. All right. I think that covers okay. Tuning rotors. Can I get for it? Yeah.
Well, please. That's pretty much it. But just a quick summary, because that was a lot of information. What's the stock rotor again?
HUSB.
Okay. And then if you were to summarize the optional rotor, and what's the designation on the optional rotor again?
It is higher strength, less RPM, more torque.
And what's the designation for that again?
Oh, JUS. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
JUS. Sorry. Okay. Cool. And yep, you answered my next question right off the bat. So that's the nice little breakdown. If you want a quick and simple breakdown of what that tuning rotor is, go back like 15 seconds. Have Matt list it out one more time for you. So those are the stock rotor and then the optional rotor, which will be a little torquier, is what you're saying, basically.
Pretty much.
And right. Difference in RPM, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, I think I understand that now. That's all the questions I had. But, what? Charlie, is it that time yet?
Ooh, before we announce our winner, we should tell them how they enter to win free RC stuff. And I'm going to do it this time because there's something I want to point out. Some of you have been sending us incomplete free RC stuff entries. You've been selected, but because your information isn't complete, I can't, in good conscience, make you a winner. Like, we have very, very, very limited requirements, and I feel like if you can't even give us the bare minimum, maybe I can't make you a winner. So I'm going to list out the items you need to do. But to enter to win, it's very easy. You send us an email, and I promise you do not get added to any sort of spam. We don't do anything with your email addresses except keep them in a folder, and I randomly pick somebody that wins every week. Send us an email to rcstuff@hobbywing.com. That's the address. Name your shipping address, your email address, your phone number, what kind of RC stuff you're into, as well as your T-shirt size. If you want to give us a cool story, you want to say nice things to us, you want to ask us a question, maybe you have someone you'd like invited onto the podcast for an interview, by all means, let us know. Questions, comments, concerns, you can include them all to the email rcstuff@hobbywing.com. And that it also, you can do that for the entry of the free RC stuff, and you'll be included in the entry pool of emails. Now, you're wondering, what are they forgetting that they're getting? You guys aren't giving me your address. So you got to like include your address, your shipping address. So don't forget your shipping address. I've gotten several entries with no shipping address. So please include your shipping address. Did I say shipping address? I said shipping address.
What was that again?
Shipping address.
Okay. Did everybody write that down?
So without further ado, this week's winner, in honor of the coming Roar Nationals in South Carolina, from Columbia, South Carolina, put your hands together for Nick Johnson.
Woo! Congratulations, Nick.
He's into all sorts of RC, from micro stuff and into 10-scale crawling. So we'll pick you out some good stuff, and we will be in touch via the email. Nick, we'll talk to you soon. Congratulations. Thank you for your email and all your kind words. He said some very nice things about the podcast, and we definitely appreciate that, sir. I'm not going to say that it helped you win, but it may have helped you win. I don't know. I'm not sure. Matt, You got anything else for us to that we may have overlooked in all this fun stuff that we talked about, the new spec motors, the G4, are you ready?
Yeah, G4, are you ready? All I'm going to say is I'm really thankful to be a part of this like project. It's very nice to have people listen to input that you have and all that stuff. I feel like throughout the years that never really like happened. And here at Hobbywing, I feel like I found a home. And yeah, these motors are pretty awesome. They're different on every sort of scale that I've seen from testing stuff. So if you put it on your machine and it doesn't look like your other motor, don't freak out. Because when you run it on the track, it's going to be, oh, this thing's pretty good. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Awesome.
Charlie, I just made a connection.
Oh?
Yeah.
About?
I'm curious now because we had a bunch of brand new plane motors that just got released. Mm-hmm. And remember, the testers for those were just in absolute awe. I'm curious mm-hmm. if any of the technology has been being carried over between the two right now.
I'm sure because when I read the marketing, the similar, the higher temperature wire, the magnet situation, the better steel, the bearing deal is all very crucial to how efficient a motor is overall. And maybe some of the racers are like, well, efficient motors are terrible. No, that just means you can get more power out of it with less temperature. And yes. That's where all the efficiency comes along, is where the response is so much better, so much different than what you've been dealing with before. So I think you're right, Mike. It adds up.
See,
I like it. I'm excited.
Mike, did we forget anything else?
Well, yes and no.
Oh, tell me.
Because you know, we had the Houston Street League event this past weekend, and James was there. You know who else was there?
Callie.
You know who beat James?
Callie.
Yeah. I don't know, Shames.
I mean, is he still fast and he's just not that fast?
Callie's faster? I don't know what to do with my hands at this point. I feel like Ricky Bobby standing on the track giving an interview.
I wish I knew up in the air. What was going on.
You'll find out later. The regular
you'll find out soon enough.
Regular listeners are all laughing right now. Thanks, guys. But on that note,
I think Callie's we're faster than James.
Callie's faster than James. All right, I'm
daughtered.
Well, I guess on that note, folks, we'll bring this one to a close. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Another episode of RC Stuff, powered by Hobbywing. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
Bye.
That's my line.